impact on door to order. And we'll start with welcome and introductions. To my left, Treasurer Slaw. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Chris Slaw, I'm the Treasurer's Deputy on this board. I'm the Chief Deputy State Treasurer.
Sorry,
Hanson,
with the
Governor's
Office,
signing
the budget.
Kyle Brown, City Council, representing the Scott Tholomew, Commissioner of San Pete, representing the Six County Association.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ethan Ali from Sunny St. George. I also bring greetings from Washington County, City of St. George. Mayor Michelle Randall, I want to make sure they understand that she really, really, really appreciates you for granting that money so they can start their construction. And they did. It was shot already, and I promise it was always there. So thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Curtis Wells, representing rural Utah.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, and I represent Wythe County AOG.
Mayor Dean Baker, and I represent UA County.
Bruce Adams, I represent Southeastern Utah AOG, and I'm going to take just a minute. I know you knew I would. So, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I normally bring a pink ribbon to everybody, but I had shoulder surgery 6 weeks ago, and I've been on opioids, so I'm not responsible for what I'm doing or saying most of the time here lately. But I apologize. I do want to let you know that my wife is a breast cancer survivor, and I really feel bad that I didn't bring the ribbons. If you leave your address, I'll send you one or something. But anyway, sometimes I do a song. I'm not going to sing to you today, but I'm going to read you some lyrics. This is from Toby Keith. It's called Don't Let the Old Man In. Don't let the old man in. I want to leave this alone. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. And I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body is weathered and worn. Ask yourself, how would you be if you don't know the day you were born? Try to love your wife. Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast each sundown with wine. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body. I'm repeating myself. Many moons I've lived. My body is worn. Ask yourself, how would you be if you don't know the day you were born? When he rides up on his horse, and you feel that cold, bitter wind. Look out your window and smile. Don't let the old man in. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that.
Forgot what we were doing. I'm Commissioner Jack Lytle from Daniel County, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Thank you, Commissioner. On next to our briefing, upcoming meeting dates, November 2nd, 2023. Do we want to talk a little bit about where we're meeting and what we're doing? Candace, do you want to lead us off there?
Yeah, the November meeting is in St. George. I have most of your listings. If you could please let me know, the applicants that will be on that agenda will be notified. We're trying to get applicants that are closer in proximity to that area. But if you haven't informed me as to your stay, I will be following up. But I have a list today. Before you leave, if you could let me know. It will be in the Washington County Chambers. We've had some pictures taken. Thank you, Heather. Her daughter was down there, so we know that there are at least 5 chairs at the DAS. So we'll be picking who. No, I'm just kidding. You can probably set up one. But the stay is at the Fairfield Inn, and it's a group gathering, so just let me know. But the November 2nd meeting will be in St. George in the Washington County Commission Chambers.
When did we decide that? Usually that's been a joint
decision during that. Was it agendized, or I just don't remember?
So previously the November meetings were in Moab, and so we just decided to find somewhere warmer.
You did?
Well, I did as the chairman, yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't a board discussion or a board action item. Moving forward, if meeting locations, you know, something like to that effect is of importance to the board, happy to place it on the agenda for group discussion decision. Okay, great. Other meeting dates, we have July meeting, we're proposing hosting it on the second Thursday, July 11th. That's not conflict with the 4th of July. Is there any issue with that date for anyone? No. December 7th, do we have any issues with December 7th?
Where are we meeting?
December 7th, well, so we'll get into that, I think, meeting place at the board member discussion and or action items, but for now, I think probably the plan is to be back at State Street. Yeah, for especially for December. January 4th as well. And then what's the August 8th?
That's in 2024. There are 5 Thursdays in August. We usually have it the first Thursday, but because we're bumping to July, we can bump to August 8th, 2024.
Does that help with your end reporting and stuff?
Well, it just helps getting ready for the next meeting.
Okay.
And so if that's okay, if there are 5, here's the 2024 calendar. If you have a mind you want to look at it, it's really state of the art.
So tentatively, Curtis, we're having the December meeting here.
Oh, no. So you've probably gathered this. The early polling is in, and the board's not super happy about being up here at the Capitol. And so, you know, we'll discuss it later on in the meeting. But I think for now, between parking and just kind of familiarity and ease of access, the plan is to head back to State Street just permanently. And then when we have these special retreats or meetings in other areas, we can jump in there. The Moab retreat, I mean, those were scheduled, you know, but I mean, we kind of have this running schedule of where we go, but we've split it up a little bit. So, for instance, we were in Monticello this summer. Where were we typically? Where were we before we landed in Monticello for that meeting date? Was that kind of a revolving meeting? Or?
Yeah, the policy meeting in June is always at a different location, so
okay.
It rotates around the state.
Yeah. And then the November meeting, that's not a policy meeting, but what's the rationale for holding that off-site in the past?
Board member preference.
Okay.
Retreat.
So, yeah, we just need to discuss it some more and kind of firm up the schedule and what, you know, where the board would like to meet. And when we do these retreats, have some more discussion about where we want to land. That's it for meeting dates. Financial review. I've got in my notes not enough money.
As you know, this is a funding meeting, and as we have moved through the trimester, there were questions for the applicants and the projects that were submitted for funding last June if there would be sufficient funding. So through the process and through the different drops that happen monthly, there is enough money to fund all the applications on the agenda today. CIB did receive about 23 applications for the second trimester, which will be on subsequent agendas. You have that listing in your red packet. So when we're saying not enough money, the total amount that have been submitted is $104 million. So there will be some decisions for the board to make. I don't know if you want to address that now, or do you want me to move on with just the rest of the meeting, and then just my little bits of notes.
Yeah, well, I think we can keep going.
Okay, on this agenda, as I said, staff has moved a few of the interest-bearing loans into the mineral lease. So you'll see, if you can put up the financial sheet for the audience, those are what is listed in yellow is represents the applications to be funded. They're the prioritization. Above it, those are the applications in the last trimester that CIB did fund. And these in yellow are scheduled to be approved today, unless there are changes, which there have been a couple of them. Any city will discuss theirs. And there are two supplementals. Scroll down to the next page. This is what I'm talking about. Keep going. As you can see, we don't have anything in red. This only represents today. So when you approve, you see the revenue, and that's of 921. The revenue is sufficient to cover them all. When you have authorized all the funding for the projects that have gone through the process this last trimester, we're not in the red. But there will only be 900,000 in the mineral lease account starting, but we get monthly draws. I've kind of done some math for the board that we can discuss later, projecting according to what the monthly deposits have been, there will be about $37 million by February. So those are the decisions that you'll have to make. There is sufficient in bonus, there is sufficient in mineral lease to fund everything that you have on the agenda today. But when you look at the applications that have been submitted, there will be some culling of what CIB can fund. On the agenda 411, Duchesne City, we have been discussing, because it's for water and sewer, a quick note, the board will fund it in its entirety, but there will be two bonds issued for that, a sewer bond and a water bond. Enix City, you originally heard their application, which the request was for $743,000. They have increased that. They're asking for supplemental. The revised request adds more funding, and they requested a reduced interest rate. The award, the board's prioritization was 2.5%. They're asking for 1.5%. As you move into the supplemental, which is at the end of the prioritization, we have Salina City coming in. They're asking for half again as much. Their request is for $6,500,000. As submitted on their application, it was all grants. CIB usually funds supplemental in the same terms, and that is listed on your agenda and your agenda notes. So that increases it, and we'll talk about that when we get there. And then there's the town of Rockville. They just need a little bit more to complete their project, and they're on there for supplemental. These balances do take into consideration those supplemental amounts. So you do have sufficient funding should you choose to authorize the supplemental funding. And with that...
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powers. We'll move on to item 3, approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve our August 3rd meeting minutes?
So moved.
So moved. Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. On to item 4, priority projects for funding. First, we have the Uinta County Municipal Building Authority, $1.5 million request, $510,000 in grant, $990,000 in loan, 10 years at 0%. For road equipment funding, part 2, 5 Mack trucks and 2 belly dumps. Please join us up here, Uinta County. Oh, sorry, we're just funding.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay. Do you have any presentation you want to make, Ms. Powers? No. So I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew. Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Motion made to fund as requested. Any discussion?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
They have a long faces for the... Today is a Santa Claus Day.
Before we go forward, that would be such an advance that I'm as requested.
As what?
As advance.
As advance. Thank you for the clarification, Commissioner. Ms. Power, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Commissioner Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Congratulations to the Uinta County Municipal Billing Authority. Next, item 4-2, Helper City, $752,000 ask, $233,000 coming in grant, $519,000 in loan, 30 years at 0% for a public works garage. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Chairman Zanotti. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Miles. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you, and congratulations to Helper City. Item 4-3, Sanpete County Fire Protection Special Service District, $1.6 million grant for 5 new fire trucks. I entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
Motion made by Commissioner Brown. Second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Taylor. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
I'm on the board. I recuse myself.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously, and might I add, all these votes will have the chairman abstaining unless necessary.
Okay. Thank you. Congrats to the Sanpete County SSD number one. Item 4-5, Gunnison City, $175,000 grant for the Tar Canyon Well Development Planning.
We have
Four-four, Sanpete County. So, congrats to the Fire Protection Special Service District in Sanpete County. Next is Sanpete County Special Service District number one, $3,555,000, $2,027,000 in grant, $1,528,000 in loan, 15 years at a 1.5 for the Moroni T Road improvements. I'll entertain a motion.
Point of order.
I'll make the motion.
The amount of the grant is
2027.
Yes. I think it's 97. So do I have dueling numbers, one in the agenda and one in the...
Yeah. So 2097 is the correct one then?
2097 is the correct.
So we'll just make sure that's reflected in the motion. Motion concurrence, Commissioner Adams?
Yes, motion as stated.
Okay. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Brown. Discussion? Seeing none. Call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
I'm also on that board.
Busy man. Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Item 4-5, Gunnison City, $175,000 grant for the Tar Canyon well development planning. Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Taylor, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with Chairman Spinney.
Item 4-6, Moroni City, $110,000 grant, wastewater master plan and reuse study. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Brown.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please, Ms. Couch.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Chairman Spinney.
Question for you real quick, Ms. Powers. So, you know, kind of like counties do on a consent agenda when we have a bunch of these items, like, you know, unanimously.
So you can do it in a group.
Yeah.
You can list them all. And
okay.
Until you get to the red part.
Yeah, until we get to the red part that's coming up.
Can I make a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
I'll make a motion that we approve items 4-7 through 4-10 as presented. Second.
Thank you. Commissioner Monos.
Chairman.
I got a second by Commissioner Bartholomew, I think.
Zanotti.
Chairman Zanotti.
Maybe we can just state what the items are.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'll make other motions then. What the county local business.
Through 7?
Building authority.
Okay, go ahead.
To the city municipal building authority, local building authority, or community recreation district, and the Fruitland Special Service District.
Great. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for roll call vote, please. Stop through. This is 4-7 through 4-10, correct?
Yes.
Of note, we're funding the Upper Country project to the local building authority. Want that in a minute?
So, can I point of order? Can I point out this includes the Altamont Rodeo? Correct?
Yes. 9 and 10. Mr. Slaw?
No.
So now it's going to be confused. No to all, no to which one?
No to the motion.
No to the motion. Oh, okay. I want to take one this way, I guess.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Ms. Hanson?
I'll prefer that principal individually. Okay.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
And I, too, am curious as to why he said no, so no.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That multi-motion passes with 3 opposed and the chairman abstaining.
Point of order.
Yes.
At least as we do things through the commission business and in deference to the vote and the treasurer's comments, sometimes we do take time to have discussions before the vote after it is brought to the table, and that would be appropriate most times.
Can I make a comment, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So I think we're in a special circumstance. I think typically a funding meeting, I wouldn't want to have further discussion, but since we've got $104 million worth of projects coming up in the next trimester and only $37 million expected to come in, we're at that point that I've been concerned about for the last year and a half, where we have to start turning away really, really good projects. So at this point, I'm trying to understand which projects maybe we have already visited and felt good about in the past, but now in light of the new financial circumstances, we may want to reconsider. And so, you know, just so there's no mystery, Scott and the Rovio would have been a project that I would have wanted to revisit because I feel like that's not essential infrastructure. I made those comments at the time and was overridden by other members of the board, and I was hoping to have maybe a little bit more discussion before just letting that project go through. And I know, Mr. Miles, I know that's really near and dear to your heart, and I understand all the value of the project, but we're at a point where we got to start making hard decisions. And so that was why I voted on that motion. Just wait.
Thank you. Okay, item 411, Duchesne City, $2,700,000, $1,795,000 in grant, $905,000 in loan, 30 years at 1%, for 2023 water and sewer infrastructure replacement, Area A, Blue Bench. Do you want to comment on this before we turn it over to the board, Ms. Powers?
As noted at the beginning of the meeting, Duchesne City, when we reviewed this, it was noted that they would be doing water and sewer, and the revenue that was pledged, they were uncertain. They have defined the revenue. It will be water revenue and sewer revenue. Those two revenues are separate, so the CIB will be issuing two bonds, one water, one sewer. But the bulk of the funding stands. They have not amended it or requested more.
Thank you, Ms. Powers.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I know I'm out of order, but I usually am. I see people standing in the room when there's five chairs up front here that they can sit in. Chairman, get up here and sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you. Okay, I'll entertain a motion on item 411.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that. Okay. Motion made to approve by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Mayor Baker. Discussion?
Questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Even though we start with two different bonds, can they start together, initiate the bonds together?
Yeah. But there's a revenue source to pay off the loan. So you pledge that when you issue a bond, and you have to pledge water for the one. So they've divided it up. They've got the percentage.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slough?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Okay, thank you. I'm happy to entertain a motion on 412 through 415.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Motion made to approve items 412 through 415 by Chairman Zanotti.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Adams. You were in over there. So, any discussion? Chairman Zanotti, would you mind just briefly listing the projects in the motion?
412, Sonoma County Local Building Authority. 413, Green River City. 414, Big Water Municipal Corporation. And 415, Escalante Municipal Building Authority.
Thank you.
Escalante, sorry.
Had you caught that. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Items 412 through 415. Yes, Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Given the fact that we are in sort of a tight funding situation, I don't have issues with any of these projects, but I really do like the, you know, I know it takes longer, but taking them one at a time so that we can discuss each other.
So I would say the way to handle that is to vote against the motion.
The substitute motion or vote against it?
Yeah. Are you asking me a question?
I don't have concerns with any of these particular projects.
The process.
Yeah.
I understand. I mean, it's really, I guess I would say you know, I mean, typically it's the motion would need voted down, and then we could, you know, we could go back through them. If the board wants to kind of alter the process, there can be a substitute motion, as Commissioner Lytle has suggested, but as of right now, we need to vote on the motion, if that makes sense. Yeah. So let's do that, please.
This is a vote on items 12 through 15. Mr. Slaw.
No.
Ms. Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
I'll say no.
Mayor Baker?
I'll say no.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
You made me add. That motion passes with four against.
Okay, thank you. Item 416, Phoenix City, $743,000 for a loan 30 years at 2.5% for a police department expansion.
They need to come to the table.
Yeah. Please come to the table.
This is it. After the review meeting, wherein you discussed this, a motion was made to fund the $743,000 requested fund for Phoenix City for a police department expansion in the amount of $743,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. Subsequently, the CID staff received an email requesting time on the agenda today to revisit this project and to amend the scope of work. It's going to be a standalone police facility. They're requesting now a $1,460,000 loan, 30 years. As stated, the interest rate at the review meeting was 2.5%. They're requesting a 1.5% interest rate. I have included it in the final tally of items to be awarded on this agenda, so you can see that there is funding to do that, but it's up to the board's discretion to do so. And with that, I turn the time over to the chair.
Thank you. Would the representatives from Phoenix City please just introduce yourselves briefly to the board and provide any additional comments that you have before the board makes a decision?
Yeah, David Harris, I'm on the Phoenix City Council.
My name is Rob Dodson, I'm the city manager.
I'm Jackson Ames, the chief of police.
Marcus Keller, municipal advisor to the city, Chris Associates.
Thank you. Welcome. I would turn the time over to the board for any questions for the applicant. Yes.
Would you please tell us why the scope change and why the request for the rate?
Yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you today. Especially we've been here for a few more hours. So this is a little surprise how quickly we're here, and maybe we'll have lunch earlier. Yes, we happily came back after the last meeting and had an in-depth discussion. We realized that our plans and the need for future growth has changed tremendously. And after digging deeper into the viability of what we were planning to build, we realized it was a stop measure for maybe 5 years, 5 to 6 years down the road. This led us to a deeper conversation with our engineer and specifically with Chief Jackson Ames about the needs for 20 to 30 years. We're currently doing impact analysis with our police department, public safety, and realized that our ask was small and would probably help to a certain extent, but not for a long-term solution. So after multiple discussions and probably, I don't know how many renditions of the plans, more than I'd like to count, because I'm not an engineer, nor are we anything but service to the public or the city. At least she decided that we needed to make some changes to the design, and so that was done. We did have a conversation with our engineer and also with the contractor who we contracted with to do this building, and he came up with a very, very good bid based on the square footage. And now we're coming back to you with the request to increase the funding. We also realize that this is so critical to New York City. We have a lot of critical needs, as everybody does, for the water and sewer. We have a certain amount, a small amount of money in our capital improvement fund, and decided to reinvest that instead of being $82,000 that we projected to put into this as cash. We established $300,000 from our capital improvements to invest in this project and move some of those critical infrastructure, the water and sewer infrastructure, down the road a little bit further. And hopefully we'll be able to fund those two in another way or another. Chief Ames may be able to explain to you a little bit about his needs, and that would help you to understand what the challenges we have and how this could improve the working relationship our public has with our police department, and they have with each other and the things that they have to do.
So as City Manager Dawson mentioned, you know, initially as we were thinking about expanding, we're currently operating in a space of about 1,000 square feet, and that's being pretty generous. The day-to-day operations and the needs that we have with our investigations and interviewing people, whether that's victims or suspects, processing evidence, the need to have more private conversations isn't really there. And so, we started this conversation several years ago about what we would do. As we presented to you guys previously, we were just going to try and do really kind of the best that we could at the time and just expand onto our current building and just give us extra space. But as Rob mentioned, as we've kind of gone through this process, we realized that really that is just kind of a short-term solution to what we're trying to solve. And so as we've mulled it over, we realized that we really could use our own independent building that is much larger, that's going to fulfill our needs. Moving forward, you know, more than just maybe the next 5-10 years and looking forward to the next approximately 30 years. And so hopefully this will be more of a long-term solution that we'll not have to be continuing to revisit this, you know, in the short term.
When it comes to the request for the reduced interest rate, I'd be able to have Councilmember Harris discuss that with you. He's actually a financial advisor, so he knows more about dollars and cents and percentages than most of us do. Or Marcus Keller from Cruising Associates. You guys are a mess, so I'll figure out the most of
them. Well, I'll mention really quickly that I've been on the council for 8 years now, almost 8 years, and public safety has been one of the top concerns for our citizens. And so I feel like by providing an appropriate facility for our first responders, we're not only giving them the support that they need, but we're serving our community as a whole by addressing one of their primary concerns. So our community has always been very supportive of our police force and our first responders, and I think this is this has the backing of all of our citizens. This is what they would like to see. And as far as the interest rate goes, we in Enoch City tried to be very, very frugal. The previous proposal was really something that we did to probably try to catch up to where we wish we would have been years ago. And that is a long-term solution. It was inadequate. And so really to consider the increased funding, but to expand the life of this facility by 30 plus years, I think is the more frugal approach, really. And with interest rates, that is, we have asked for We believe that we can make payments on this loan without raising property tax, that we can keep the cost of financing down. And as a frugal individual myself, and one that represents a very frugal community, I'd like to see if we can accomplish that.
And I would just like to mention, this is something they took seriously as we were running different scenarios, and they kept trying to say, well, can we put more money, and so they pushed that to the limit by nearly tripling their cash contribution to this project to try to get that to the place so that their ongoing expense on the bond wouldn't push them into that situation. So that's kind of how we came to that additional cash contribution number. It allowed us to line up with if we were able to get 1.5% on the new and larger loan amount.
Chair. Yes. I'd like to maybe make a comment. I think the board is probably willing to give the increased funding, but I'm not sure we're willing to make an allowance on the interest rate. Treasurer Slaw has made a point this morning to slap the hands of the board on two or three motions, as he does every meeting.
We love her, but he is
the watchdog of this committee, and
everybody has to be.
You know, we want to help you, and we're willing to. You know, Iron County is number 18 on the contributions to this fund. So you're pretty low down on the total poll as far as contributing to this fund. You're a small community. I love to advocate for small communities, but I think I'm reading the board a little bit, and I think we'd probably be willing to give you the additional funds, but I don't think we'd be willing to give much on the interest rate. That's just my opinion.
Commissioner Lytle.
So, a couple of comments. The question first: how much? What was the city's contribution to the project?
Originally, it was eight.
Now,
$300,000. That's the cash contribution. They increased it to.
You increased it to that. So here's where I'm at. We gave you the minimum in terms of 2.5%. Anything less would have to fit our criteria for exemption. I'm not sure I've heard a good, I don't want to try and think of it. You need to provide us a good reason to do something different than the tool, from my perspective alone. I say that respectfully.
I appreciate that. And it is respectful, and that's understandable.
Because we want it. Sometimes not. It isn't where we go, but what we so 2.5%, that was the minimum as a tool, and that's what we stayed with. My inclination would be to go up, needing what our interest rates are if we were going any direction. So I think with your plea for frugalness and our desire to be frugal with the money that we're giving out responsibly, it would be very difficult to go below the 2.5% in conjunction with.
Ms. Hansen.
Actually, Commissioner Ball has captured my comment.
Okay. Chairman Zanotti.
Just, I don't know, the defense of the evening, or just add some comments. On September 12, we had a meeting from UDOT to reestablish the parking of the Trails Airport. We went into the city, and we had the park challenges from the OGs in there, and EMIC had a quite a good presentation. And after that, I had personally through the community, and we had previously reviewed our meetings there. They're really, really bulging this thing. And if you haven't been in that neighborhood, you're just driving by I-15, and you just see the EMIC, the water tank, and you just pass, please take a moment just from the side of it. And its population is growing. The pain with that growing pains, of course, and I think that they're going to need a lot of money to get something going to make it out of the, under the shadow of the Cedar City. Because for many, many years, they were just attached to Cedar City for all the services. Now they're trying to get the right identity and they need our help. So I agree with the Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Bridle, you're not going to get more than 5%. So if you don't get anything today, and usually by virtue of the past historical side information, we try to install in the same way that we have previously. So I will suggest you can take anything. Be grateful that you can get 2.5%. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Chairman. Just for the benefit of the board, I just have a question. I'm supportive of the project. So now that it's going to be a standalone facility, is the extra footage going into the new project replacement of this what you're turning down, or specifically, what are we expanding that's going to help you for the extended time?
So it's a standalone building. We're not going to tear down anything we have now. Our current police department is in our city office. It used to be the library, and then we stuff people in here. And we're going to actually be able to expand our city office and facility there into that space, which is much needed too, because you know that's growing also. Does that answer your question?
I'm just curious to see what percentage of the new project was filled by what exactly. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I would like to make a motion to accept the new request and for the scope change, the rate of 2.5%.
Thank you. Second.
Second.
I'll second. Commissioner Taylor, comment? Discussion, yes.
First of all, I want to say thank you for your efforts. And as a law enforcement officer, currently, you recognize your values, and please don't take anything I've said as anything less than recognizing your importance and the importance of the community. So thank you very much.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you.
Chairman, before we call on vote, I'd like to see the difference between 1.5% and 2.5%, what that payment would be.
I believe it was roughly about $10,000 to $20,000 a year in annual payment. But the reason for the change is because we're trying to line it up with their impact fee adjustment. Even though this would be a sales tax revenue bond, they have that source of revenue that they're trying to match it up. So that's how we got to that $300,000 number. That's how we kind of landed on the 1.5% because it lined up with what the budget item is. Even though we're 100% grateful, even if we get 2.5%, but as the city council member mentioned, we probably have to go back to the drawing board to either find other capital funds to either reduce the amount, or they have to potentially look at a future tax rate increase to help offset some of the additional amounts. So
the funding tool is on the screen.
Kurt, you okay with this?
And I think that's on a smaller amount too, so that's why it's a little bit different.
If you want to put in the, Paul, do you want to put in the 1.46, 1,406?
460.
Yeah,
1,460.
460?
Yes.
$10,000 payments, but if we'll
keep that as homework.
The venture financial request is taken out.
Okay. Ms. Powers, I'll call for roll call vote, please.
This is for funding Enix City in the increased amount of $1,460,000 for 30 years at 2.5%. They have city cash contribution of $300,000 at this time. Mr. Slough. Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
That's still a good interest rate. Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman's opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
I've lived in Union City for 32 years now, and I've been involved with the police department since its inception with one officer, a truck, and I only know we had a bullet for the gun. We want to tell you how much we appreciate this opportunity that you have given us to create something good for our community, but not just that. Now I'm going to get a little emotional. I've actually done this before, so you would have changed your mind. The officers that worked for us have been through a pretty disastrous event on January 4th, and their needs, their emotional needs, it's funny what space does. It's not funny. It's interesting what space does. And we, by creating this space for our officers, it will help them become more healthy mentally. They'll be able to overcome some of the challenges they're experiencing. Although we don't think of space that way most of the time, it is. We live in homes where there's space that we emotionally tied to. Well, their work is their space. They spend as much time on more work than they do at home. So you're providing this to us is going to bless the lives of our officers, which of course is going to go towards our public. So thank you for giving us this opportunity. You should be interested to
follow the United States first.
Thank you.
Okay, up next we have item 417, the Bear River Water Conservancy District, $250,000 in grant for the Box Elder County Water Master Plan. Motion to approve?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Brown. Do we have a second?
Okay.
Second by Ms. Hansen. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with the chairman's name.
Okay. Item 418, Wayne County, $244,400 grant request for civil easements Class D and B roads in Wayne County. Motion to approve.
Motion to
second.
Hold on,
Commissioner Taylor. Second, but what's that? After the motion. So, motion made by Commissioner Taylor. Second by Commissioner Miles. Discussion.
Thank you. I know this is a little bit unpopular amongst this group here, but I just, you know, when we look at all of the very needed projects that are on our list and that are coming to us, I just don't feel like this rises to the level of these critical infrastructure. I understand that maintaining access to these recreational areas is hugely important for the county and all of us on the Wasatch Front that come to the county to recreate. My big concern is that simply purchasing, and I also understand Sitla's need for payment on this. As a mom with kids in school, we benefit from all of the lands that Sitla develops and sells. My big concern, though, is that simply by having the section of easement does not preclude, although it may deter a little bit, but it doesn't preclude the federal government from closing down the roads on either side. And our investment then could go to a little segment of road easement that doesn't connect to anything on either end. And we have $244,000 that could have gone to a critical water project. So philosophically, I just am not really supportive of
Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bartholomew and then Mr. Taylor.
So having dealt with these on a continual basis, it is very critical to us. The government is continually trying to shut these roads down. And if we don't have that little segment there, they can shut down that and that and not have access. And that's why this is very critical. We've done this in the other counties. It's a very good project.
Can I get just for a side really quick?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, yes, I understand the purpose of it is to have that segment on either edge to prevent them from cutting down either or shutting down either side. But it doesn't, us having purchased the county purchasing the easement, doesn't preclude them from doing that anyways. And then our investment would just be this little floating segment that I mean, I get it that it's a message, but I worry that our resources are going to something that may not actually be useful in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As coming from Garfield County, a county that's 93% federally owned, and they traded away all of our SIPA ground once they made the monument, these easements, Laura, Ms. Hansen, is critical to these counties, because I guarantee you, I mean, we're in the process right now that BLM is writing a new resource management plan, and their plan is to get rid of these roads, to get rid of everything so that you don't have any public access. By getting rid of this little piece, whatever, you have no hope whatsoever. And these small communities are going to be, they might as well pack up and move up here to Salt Lake, and will never be able to enjoy those lands. Not even those of you that live along the Wasatch Front. And so, to me, this is a huge deal for me.
Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, me and Toby Keith are going to give you the old man's perspective.
I thought we were
selecting So I've been on the board long enough, I can remember everything. We have a gentleman's handshake agreement with SITLA and with the counties to purchase these easements, and we've done it for 15 years that I know of. Just to offer the protection that's been described, I don't remember a road being closed by the BLM or the Forest Service that ends on either side of these purchases. So I think that the federal people understand that the counties feel these are important roads to keep open. They haven't challenged us on this yet. They challenged our RS-2477. But I think we've done it in all of the other counties. To say no to Wayne County right now would be acting like one side of Congress, but I'm not going to say any more than that. But I think what, is anybody here from Wayne County? What do they have? 98% federal?
93.
Yeah, only 3% private property in the county. SITLA purchases of road easements is like gaining a little bit more of private property. So I know Kurt's going to try and slap me down here, but anyway, that's the old man's perspective.
Right there is Wayne County.
Just talking about you, Dennis.
Commissioner Lydon.
I just have a question.
So just real quick, because my comment will be germane to the question. So first of all, thank you for the question and the comment in terms of bringing it to the table for a little more in depth, because I think it provides us an opportunity to have an interaction that is apparent without saying who's right or wrong. To the historical value of what's being stated, I concur completely as well as what you heard what Garfield County said. The only different twist or addition I would make is whether it's from an oil and gas standpoint, it's not just recreational roads necessarily, it's also our access to resources that we guarantee with those easements, at least to the legal extent that an easement allows. And having that flexibility within our counties, especially with the predominant federal nexus that we have, if we don't protect what we have. Now, to the question of whether CIB should be paying for it or not, I would say it's a board decision, but there is historical relevance to why we do it. Not only self-serving as a board and where much of our funding, but also as it comes to the health of those counties. I understand what you're saying and I respect what you said, but at the same time, I would vehemently disagree with the way you said it. But thank you for bringing it up.
Dennis, how much
before you go to Dennis, real quick, I took the chairs.
Sure, you saw, please. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm down here on the end. You can't see me. So yeah. I'm going to raise my hand. a big block. But, I just have a question for those who understand this a little bit better than I do. I understand the need to strengthen the legacy of these roads so that they don't get shut down. And I would never want to come be clean, or I would never want to cause a decision by this board to be the reason why a road gets shut down or why the federal government closes access into public lands, because I realize how critical that is. So what I'm wondering is if road easement stays with CIDLA rather than being transferred to the county through this transaction, is that viewed any different by the federal government as long as CIDLA retains that easement? Because I don't think it's CIDLA's invention.
The county is buying the easement from CIDLA, so it's a standalone easement.
It goes to the county, Kurt.
No, I understand that. So what I'm saying is, if CIDLA retains that easement, rather than transferring it to the county, is there any difference from the federal government's perspective on the value of that road to the county? Is that a message to the federal government that that's no longer important, or what?
From my perspective, very quickly, and somebody help me out if I'm wrong, but when they sell that easement, it's a standalone easement. When they sell their property and it doesn't have an easement on it or that road, because they aren't all, CIDLA doesn't have their own easement on their own road necessarily in some of these. So when we buy them, that establishes that easement. We as a county, individual counties, when we buy them, it has that strength of the easement.
So you're saying CIDLA doesn't currently have an easement there?
I don't know where they do or don't, but I know that when we own it, that helps us significantly.
Stiff was here.
Okay.
Yeah, come on up. Why don't we actually have it?
And Dennis, why don't you? And Slavny and I was all the way around. There's an age there.
I'm Nancy Strickland from CIDLA.
Turn the mic on.
And this is a good time, Chair, for the county.
Yeah.
I'm Nancy Strickland from CIDLA. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, CIDLA, the county has the easement. So CIDLA has the easement in the county's name. So it always transfers to the county. So when the land is sold, the county holds the easement. So then that way the road remains open to the public. So right now in Lee County, those roads that we're asking funding for, we have a temporary easement. So they're still open to the county as long as the land owns the road. But then, so we're using the easement. So Dylan didn't have an easement on the CIDLA
land. One quick question. Does CIDLA currently have plans to exchange it to sell that section?
In Wayne County.
Not the whole thing.
Not in Wayne County, Illinois.
That's good.
Commissioner Blackburn, would you mind just providing us just some brief, rationale for this request? And
well, I'm Dennis Blackburn, Wayne County Commissioner. Happy to be here and appreciate you guys all considering this. Ask in Wayne County, where we're only 3% private, access means everything to us, no matter what's going on. And this will help to maintain that for us. Access to every other BLM Forest Service and everything that's in the county. We've got 1,100 miles of road that we try to maintain, and it's a part of them, and it's a big ask.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Good question for the applicant. Does this encompass all of the CIDLA properties, easements for the CIDLA properties in your county?
Yes.
So it's a one-time ask.
And I would like to just reiterate, it's very important that we solidify the county's position on these right-of-ways. When MARS 2477 litigation came about, we were having to go and find testimony from individuals who had driven those roads. they don't give much deference for those testimonies, but the thing that they will give deference for is an own right of way that the county has acquired. And that goes a long way. And then we don't get much difference in prescriptive easement. On private property, a road can be used for 10 years, I believe, in the state of Utah, and it becomes a prescriptive easement. It doesn't give us that authority on public lands. And so this is a huge step in the right direction and will solidify keeping those roads open for the rest of eternity.
Thank you. Any additional discussion, questions for the applicant? Commissioner Brown and then Commissioner Adams.
Just real quick, I appreciate the position. Currently, we have three roads that are under protest. Property that exchanges hands that we're having to fight people because there's no existing easements. It's not civil land, but it's different lands up on the forest where it goes through private ground within the forest. It's a constant battle for rural counties to keep these roads open for the public. So I can see the great need and appreciate it. And since Sibley Road is providing funds for school children, one of the major roads, so it's constantly changing hands. We've got proposals in our county to pick up some more stuff in that as we speak. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams.
Just for Kurt and Laura's information, historically, this is some old land stuff again. 25 years ago, San Juan County purchased just under $3 million worth of CIPA easements ourselves. We didn't come to the CIB or the state. We're very wise conservative commissioners, and we have the money to do it, and we did it.
Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call, please.
This is for the funding of Wayne County's CITLA Class C roads. It's a $244,400 grant. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
I'm going to vote no. I'm going to be this way on all of these easement conversations, I'm afraid. And it's not that I don't understand the value and the purpose of it. I think it's more just, is this the best use of CIB funds?
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes, I will be voting yes on all of these.
It's okay. It's not always. I just want to cancel your vote.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with one nay and the chairman abstaining.
Thank you. Okay, we're on to item 7.1, supplemental requests. First up is Salina City. Ms. Powers, do you want to provide us a brief introductory comment here?
The original request to CIB was for a $13,962,000 funding award, of which the board awarded a $6,981,000 grant and $6,980,000 loan, 30-year, at 0.5%. That project at that time was in the amount of $14,562,000. It has taken some time to complete the project planning and to get the bids and to find out exactly what it would cost. There's been a few changes to the scope of work. They've omitted some and added some in the interim. They're ready to proceed, but they cannot proceed because their projects exceeds the amount of funding available. Their request, as submitted, was for a $6,500,000 grant to add to it. It is the board's policy that supplemental funding is awarded in the same terms. If you choose to award it in the same terms, it would be an additional $3,250,000 loan for the year at 0.5% and a $3,250,000 grant. That brings the total of the project of CID funding to $20,242,000. Which is a $10,231,000 grant and a $10,231,000 loan, 30-year, at 0.5%. This has been accommodated in the financial sheet, so it does not put it. If you award this, it still keeps us in the black. But you may want to discuss it with the applicant, and I'll turn the time over to the board and the chair.
Thank you. Will the applicant please introduce themselves, provide any just very brief comments before I turn it over to the board, please?
Sure. I'm Mayor Jed Maxwell, Slam City.
Jesse Ralph, Southern Engineering.
I'm going to give you kind of a breakdown of what's happened and why we're here. It's not that we want to be, by no means. None of us want to put our city in more debt, but back in 2000, we started a sewer project, and we was able to fund one-third of the project. And, you know, we're just going to phase it. So in 2000, we took a $2.25 million loan to do one-third of the town, and we're going to phase it out. Well, through the years, roads came more important, water came more important, so the sewer system just continually aged out without going. So in 2021, our system, we've had Cambridge clean, and seen all the deficiencies throughout the whole town. You know, we're sewer wagoning the lines all the time, trying to keep them just so they're not going into the creek and the rivers, and the manholes will back up and overflow. And you see, like, where this line is, all the freeway businesses all kind of funnel down, and then they turn into the town, and kind of got a real fast bottleneck of, you know, growth and development over the years, as the lines have stayed the same. So when we come to CIB in 2014, this loan grant that we took originally was to complete the other two-thirds of the project from the initial. And, you know, back then it was $15 million in that range, and then COVID hit. So that $14 million we kind of took then became $30 million, right? So we've done a design grant, we put it out, engineer estimate, $30 million. Well, in the last 2 years, obviously the prices have dropped a little bit, so our bids came in at $21 million all the way up to $29 million. So by taking the lowest bid just to complete what was 2 years ago funded, has increased $6,500,000. So that's why we're back here today, seeking more funding to just complete what's the final phase of our project. From, you know, and unfortunately, in 2000, if they took all the money, it would have been $9 million and done the whole thing. So that's what time does to you. So I don't see how we can continually phase it, because if we phase out the last 20 more years, where the city's going to be able to financially take it, it's going to be just out of reach. So that's kind of what we're asking, why we're here. And like I say, we're not here because we like to get our city in more debt, because trust me, the citizens, they've had a lot of heartache of costs increasing, and, you know, lots of tax increase, and now the water rates and sewer rates have been increasing the last 5 years, trying to get repaired. So it's detrimental that we get it done, but also it's not like we're just up here pleading to get more and more money, because it affects us all as citizens. So.
Thank you for that. Questions from the board for the applicants? Yes, Chairman Zanotti, please.
Thank you. So, Mayor Maxwell, I know that 9 years ago when I met you, you had some yellow hair.
Yeah.
No gray, nothing. That was an issue. I think what happened with that? What did we do to you?
We should do the job. The job, you know. All the hours put in, all the stress and headaches. No, that was funny though. I thought about that on the way up here. I said, you know, when I first started coming, I had a full head of hair, and now today I'm trying to part the cords that are left.
That's not going to serve. So this, after we get the money today, is this project shovel ready? You can proceed without any delay and without causing more interest rate hikes and anything else.
Yes, yep. This is The design grant's been done, the bids have been put out, so it took us a year to design grant the whole thing, and like I say, in the 2 years, that's how much cost has been played in, and unfortunately, that's what we're living in today, so we're ready to go right now. So if this funds, we'll award the bid, and we'll move on and be done with it.
And you got the mining portion from the one quality?
Yes.
And you're saying these all the cash contributions all utilized?
Yep.
Okay, my next question from the engineer. So, what portion of this do you estimate is the most increased portion for the steel, concrete, the labor, to be explained to the board? So, what would be the increase of steel?
Yes. Great question. I think the question in response to which part did not increase substantially. So,
whichever thing is.
The project, in a nutshell, includes the replacement of about 50,000 feet of pipe and the construction of a headworks building for screening and metering of the effluent going into the lagoons. As a reference point, when the estimates were put together in 2021, our estimate for pipe, 8-inch pipe, was $58 a foot. That's just the pipe. It doesn't include the pipe bedding in the back building asphalt. The bids today are $81 a foot, so it's about a 25-30% increase, and that carries through all of the materials that you wouldn't necessarily think would have gone up. Sand, soil, backfill, asphalt, concrete, we've all seen that. It's been very apparent. Just the electrical work in the building for the headworks has skyrocketed. That went up over 50% from what we were seeing. So, the estimates were in the midst of the inflation. They were higher than what we had seen pre-COVID, but obviously they were behind the curve on where the inflation is going to take the rest of the way. Over the last year, we've actually seen it kind of stabilize a little bit. Does that answer your question?
Yes. What is the closest cement to asphalt plant next to the cement cities? Maybe we can see it here in the field.
I think these hills in some states are
ready to see it.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Yeah, Nagi, you think this is hard on the mayor? Look at the engineer. I've seen more engineers with hair like his than I have.
Because we deal with the gray matter, and that's why it's too much of
it. I'd like to make a motion to approve your request.
Motion made to approve as requested. Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Discussion. Ms. Hanson.
Yes, thank you. So, just to clarify, the motion is to give them the full $6.5 million in grants, which, as I understand, no.
What is the motion?
As requested.
It's
really?
Requested. Well, let me state the motion. $3,250,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5. $3,250,000 grant, which is in line with the original funding.
Okay. Was that your request?
No.
You were requesting all of it. Okay. So the motion is to advance it with the same terms as before. If we do something as requested, it would require an exception.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing it proportionate to the previous agreement.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Clear as mud?
I think I got it.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Yamas.
Yeah, I just have one clarifying question.
Sure.
So this was accounted for in the financial as having, so we're essentially, this is funded today, if we vote approve, this is both an approval of the supplemental and a vote to approve, correct? Or vote to fund. And that's been accounted for in the financial as still having enough to do this.
Yes.
On these terms.
Yes, because we'll take the loan out of the mineral lease because the grant was already on the financial sheet taken out of the mineral lease, so it won't change the bottom line.
Okay.
Usually interest-bearing loans are taken out of the bonus if there's sufficient funding. There isn't, so it's coming out of the mineral lease.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's the same in balance. And now roll call vote.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. Just a couple of clarifying questions. How long will this project take for start finish time-wise?
We're estimating 18 months.
Okay.
It's the next project.
I don't know if there'd be any advantage to phase it halfway through, that we put some of it in another funding cycle, that you maybe could get a little more grant. You know, I don't know if that would be an option for the board of dealing with that.
Well, we've got a motion on the floor right now. We have to,
unless that's a substitute.
Yeah, we have to make a substitute motion.
Feel free to offer.
I don't want to speak to the mayor. I think it appeals. The logistics of it, I'm not quite sure. We would need to close on the loan to start construction. And so deciding how much to award would be contingent upon a commitment to the rest of it could be received later.
It would probably make more sense if it was a longer project term. So, thank you.
No substitute motion. We'll call for the roll call vote.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining. What they awarded was, in the same terms, a $3,250,000 loan for a year at 0.5% and $3,250,000 grant.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Up next, item 7.2, Local Building Authority of Rockville Town. Welcome, Ms. Powers, please.
We awarded funding to the town of Rockville in the amount that you can see previously approved. They are asking for just a little bit more as what was previously approved. What they're asking for is another $15,000 in grant funding and a $45,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%. Upon your screen, you can see what was previously approved. It's the same terms. They're asking for nothing more, but when they went in and did their bids, they just need this little bit more in order to complete the project. And that's it. Same project. Nothing changed.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve as requested, please.
Second. Motion to approve as requested by Chairman Zanotti. Second by Commissioner Bartholomew. Any discussion? Comments? Seeing none. Call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hampton?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Chairman Steen?
Thank you.
Yes. I just want to make a statement. On the 14th of October, there's going to be an eclipse of the sun. And the best place to see it is in San Juan County. Because you can see every ditch. Because you
absolutely that's what I was getting at, Jack.
Sorry. The best place to see anything in the state of Utah is from San Juan County. So we'd like to invite everybody to come down with the other 200,000 that will be there and enjoy the eclipse of the sun.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, since the meeting with Mr. Boss, can I take one moment as well?
Of course.
Well, is it possible to make me a panel in a second? We have a brand new resource that I just wanted to share with everyone before everyone leaves the meeting. I just want to be able to share this great resource with you all. We have just created what we call the new funding opportunities portal. You might need.
You want us to give some more people back in the room so they can benefit, or is there kind of letting go?
Okay. Did they pick up it? Yes.
Let's give those people back in.
There we go. There it is. Okay, so this is
an. Yeah.
planning and funding resources opportunity portal that we've just created in our office, and I know that CID has limited resources, and there's so many needs that are out there. So if people will announce that. Okay, there it is again. So this is on our webpage now, and it has 150-something grant opportunities on here. You can filter it by, say, I'm a local government. You can check that box and say, I'm interested in water grants, for example. And it will pull up all of the various different state and a handful of selected federal funding opportunities as well. And you can, the one little finicky thing about it is you need to hit reset filters in between multiple searches or it gets confused sometimes. But you can also go by opportunity type here and say technical assistance, tax credit, grant or loan. But you can filter it by all different kinds of ways. So different funding opportunities, broadband, recreation, water, resilience, energy, transportation, environment, economic development, housing, and agriculture. So lots of funding opportunities that are available here. And the way to find this is if you go to the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget website, gope.utah.gov, and you'll see this planning and coordination menu item, and if you just go to planning and funding resources, you can find it right there. So anyways, we hope that this is a helpful resource for you all. I gave a presentation at a UX conference, and I had to go to 8 different state websites to get all of the grant information. I'm like, this is ridiculous. There's got to be a better way. And so we compiled it all into this database. If you are using it and you say, hey, you know what would make this even more useful is if you added this feature, please reach out to me, and we'll do our best.
You can qualify for this. What is the criteria?
Anyways, these are just all of the grants that are on there. You can filter by eligibility, so state, nonprofit, local, nonprofit, or even a private individual. So there's ways to filter the grant opportunities by any of those types.
And Laura, you find that at gopd.utah.gov, planning and budget?
Gopd.utah.gov, and then if you go to planning and coordination, there's the planning and funding resources menu option.
And then there will be a tool that says funding opportunities.
You'll find it on there, yeah. Thank you for giving me just a minute.
You bet. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Anytime we have like a comprehensive, you know, collection or file.
Hey, Laura. No. Is there any place on there for a CITLA grant to get it easy?
Well,
you was asking if you would add something.
I set myself up.
I gave Laura a lot of credit. That portal is amazing because it goes beyond just what Utah may offer. She's got federal stuff on there. So when I get stuck with a nonprofit that was going to apply for CID and said, oh, you can't, then I've got another source for them. And so, and if you check it, it's always updated. So shout out.
Thank you.
She does a great job.
Yes,
thank you.
One more question. Do they have another match for you that grant?
They're all different grants. So there's lots of different grants. They all have different grants.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item 9-1, an update from the 7 County Infrastructure Coalition. Welcome.
I just like to remind everybody to sign in if you didn't. I think you didn't sign in with your black cards.
Welcome, sir. Please introduce yourself to the board, and the floor is yours.
The light's red instead of green. That's a little confusing. Good morning. It's good to be with you all. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm the director of the 7 County Infrastructure Coalition. Mr. Chairman, board, appreciate your time today. I will be brief. This meeting has gone longer than I anticipated, and I suspect you're in the same boat. There's been a lot of activity around the Wind Basin Railway, which I'm sure most of you are aware of, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to bring you up to speed and express our gratitude on behalf of the Coalition for your ongoing support. This project is critical to the state of Utah and to many of the things that so many of us hold near and dear to our hearts. As you may have heard, just over a month ago, the D.C. Circuit Court issued a ruling in favor of those opposed to this project, primarily the Center for Biological Diversity and Eagle County, Colorado, who was utilizing the railroad as a political platform to advance their own objectives, and I think misleading the public on the nature of this project and the results of this project. And I just want to be clear that this project is about Utah. The railroad is almost fully contained within Eugene County, which is a little bit in Linn County and a little bit in Martin County, 80 miles. The project is being funded privately, with the exception of the planning and permitting funding that this board has provided. So there are not taxpayer dollars involved in it. If we do go off for private bonding, those will be private investors that invest in bonds, and there's private equity that is being attracted to the project. Just speaking quickly on the capital stack, that has been a very lengthy and difficult process. Ironically, our private partner, Drexel Hamilton Infrastructure Partners, not to be confused with Drexel Hamilton proper, recently completed all the agreements for the private equity staff and brought all the partners necessary to make this project work. That coincided almost perfectly with the court's decision. So I just wanted to report to you that this is a speed bump. Not that railroads have speed bumps, but she's a metaphor. We are doing everything within our power, both as the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition and our private partner, the Drexel Hamilton Infrastructure, to move this project forward. And we're confident that we will do so. I want to, again, just take a minute and bring you up to speed on where we're at. We've been pursuing two options at the moment. One is judicial, and one is legislative. I'll start with the judicial. We have an option with the D.C. Circuit Court to petition the entire circuit court to address the judgment. So the way that this worked is there are 11 judges appointed to the circuit court. Three of those judges were appointed to hear our case, and they issued a decision, again, that was less than favorable. So three of the 11 made the decision that we needed to go back and revise our environmental impact statement to take into account both upstream and downstream impacts of waxy crude that may be extracted and shipped on this railroad. Now, to be clear, this is a common carrier railroad. Anyone is free to transport on this railroad. The waxy crude is the check that is funding the railroad, and we're very grateful for that. Now, this is no different than anything that's ever been done in the Uinta Basin. Oil and gas has been the lifeblood of the Uinta Basin for the better part of a century. So this is the same thing we do with this board, right? We fund projects and that's funded through severance taxes on oil and gas. It's the same thing. So it's a little bit frustrating that it's being portrayed as something different than that. But they're saying that we need to go back and look at oil and gas specifically and determine where it may be refined and look at the environmental impacts to those communities and to the environment in general. So we need to go back and look at the wildlife impacts downstream as well as upstream. The problem with that is we're building a railroad. We have no idea where products may be shipped to or what impacts those may or may have, and asking us to study those without being clear on exactly where that is and what that involves is nearly an impossible ask. So we are petitioning the court to give us more clarity on that. We've got a very good case. We received word just yesterday that the court asked us to open that up to responses from all parties. So just a week ago today, we submitted the petition, and already the court has responded asking others to weigh in, which tells us that they will hear our case. And we have a very good case because the circuit court has contradicted itself in at least two other cases with two or three other cases from other appeals courts that support our position, or in other words, contradict the decision that these three judges made. There's also the issue of interstate commerce and this being a transportation project, not an oil project. And there's case study on that as well, not limiting transportation options, especially when they're energy related. Again, there's case history that suggests that the court is contradicting itself, and there's a number of other cases that do so. So from a legal perspective, we're in a good place. Nonetheless, just so that we're all on the same page, it is very unusual for a court to, I guess, to turn on their own, right? The judges like to stick together. So, you know, expecting that the full court would overturn the ruling of these three judges is very unlikely. Our hope is, again, that we get greater clarity on what their expectations are, because the judgment that stands, again, is undefined and nearly impossible. So if we can get that further refined, that's very helpful. So we are in the middle of that process, and so far it is going very well. The circuit court can take months and months and months to review these types of things, but the fact that they immediately responded and said, okay, everybody, give us your information, tells us that we've struck a chord, hit a nerve, and that we will get a chance to be heard, which will be helpful, regardless of how that turns out. We also have the option of just redoing the environmental impact statement or updating the environmental impact statement to comply with the court. Again, it was somewhat nebulous in what they were asking, so that makes it a heavy lift. And doing environmental impact statements are very expensive, as you well know, because you just paid for them. And so we would hate to have to come back before you and ask for more money to do that. But rest assured, we are prepared to do so if necessary, because this is very important to many people. And we do not want to see your investment go to waste, even if that means doubling down. We don't foresee that happening, but I just want to be, you know, be upfront with you and let you know that that is a possibility. Also, talking judiciously, there is a third option, which is the Supreme Court. The circuit court in Washington is full of Obama appointees. The majority of the judges, I believe, are Obama appointees. There are very few that were appointed by Republican presidents, and so they tend to have liberal leanings. So we don't hold great hope with the circuit court that they would just say, oh yeah, for sure, you can just go ahead and do your project. But the Supreme Court, on the other hand, is more balanced and is in favor of conservative judges versus liberal judges. So we would have a better chance and the right to build transportation infrastructure, to transport critical energy products is a very hot button issue in tribal country. And so it would be a good Supreme Court case. The downside to that is the Supreme Court hears about 1% of the cases that are petitioned before them. So, and that would be a very, very long road to hold. It's just kind of like there's a lot involved there. So, judicially, we have those three options. There's also a legislative option. And we are very grateful to our Washington delegation, our two senators and the four representatives, for their support of the project and their willingness to do what they can in Washington to solve this problem. So as a little bit of background, earlier this summer, Senator Joe Manchin passed a law through approving the Mountain Valley Pipeline that goes through Virginia and other parts of the East Coast. We took that exact language and copied it and put it into this project, applied it to this project, and we tried getting that in through the Senate as part of the continuing resolution, and it just didn't add up. And the suggestion was, let's try it in the House. So, again, this is all in the last few weeks. So, Representative John Curtis was willing to push in the House. We have support from House leadership, not that House leadership, committee leadership, and that's been critical. And we're very grateful for our partners in the Grassl Animal Infrastructure for those connections that they have. So the House is currently looking at H.R. 4280, I believe, which is the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Bill, something staff is familiar with because Christine administers a number of the HUD programs. If there's somebody here in that bill, so not to a little bit on it. Nonetheless, the language, which they're calling the Curtis Amendment, to HB 4280, was filed yesterday. And so it will be before the House committees for discussion. Again, there's a lot on the plate at Congress right now. There's a lot of dysfunction. Sometimes, catastrophes are a great opportunity. Other times, it's the worst time. We don't know how that will play out, but I wanted you to know that where we're at with that. So the House will discuss it if they should pass it, get it passed. We do have some Democrat representatives and senators that are willing to support us on this, so it's not strictly partisan. So that's good news. It would go from the House, then the Transportation, Housing and Urban Development Bill, or THUD as they call it, would go to the Senate, where we know we have some support. If it's approved there, then it would go to the President for signature, and if it's provided for put into law, it would resolve a lot of these problems. And part of the language, as it's currently prescribed, states that the only legal recourse would be through the Supreme Court. So that takes it out of the hands of a lot of businesses with some problems. So it's a heavy lift. It's a bit of a moonshot. But we believe we've got a chance, and we're doing everything we can to make that happen. Think about the people in the Uinta Basin who have lived their entire lives through these boom and bust cycles. And I know you've got people in each one of your communities like this, where the mom is teaching piano lessons so that she can send her kids to play sports, to pay for the uniforms and those minor fees. And the husband's hours get cut back, the economy goes into a bust. People can't afford piano lessons anymore. So that income that was used to pay for those extracurricular activities goes away. And then those kids have to drop out of high school sports, out of community sports, out of their piano lessons. You see these mothers in your local supermarket, trying to make the dollars and cents balance, because all of a sudden they're losing income. You see that every day in your communities. And projects like this really are not about oil and gas as much as they are. They're about those people who live in these rural communities and have to suffer through these boom and bust cycles because they don't have transportation options. If you live in the Uinta Basin, the only way in and out is over those two main roads and all those trucks. You can't manufacture. You can't do agriculture on a large scale. Even oil and gas is encumbered. This railroad will open all of that up and give opportunities to people. And the millions of dollars in revenues come back to boards like this and to others in our state so that rural Utah has a fighting chance to take advantage of the opportunities that the folks here along the Wasatch Front and the rest of our state and the rest of our country see. And it's very upsetting to me to see private interest groups that are largely funded out of California and people in Colorado for political purposes try and dictate our opportunities to make a living here in Utah. What we do here in Utah should be decided by our elected officials, by the people sitting at this board, and by the people in this state, not by others. I'm a very strong federalist, and I just believe very strongly that it really, really is upsetting when things like this happen. And there's a lot of people throughout the country that agree with us on this. And so legally, we've learned that. So I get the blabbering. I apologize for that. Again, thank you for your support. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions? Yes, Treasurer Slaw.
Yeah, so thank you for that. That was very helpful, Keith. I really appreciate the update. And you know, we were hearing a lot about this environmental challenge, and so that was really helpful to hear that you guys have a really clear strategy going forward. One thing that you mentioned is that one of the potential outcomes could be that you could extend the environmental impact study and then come to this board seeking more funds for that. My question is at this point in the project, is CIB the only recourse to fund additional environmental impact studies, or are you far enough along that perhaps private parties could be another option to fund those rather than going to CIB? You heard this morning that, you know, we're facing our own funding deficits and there's a lot of infrastructure. So I wouldn't want to stand in the way of continuing the Basin Rail project. Obviously, that's a very important project for the whole basin and for the state as a whole. Like, I don't want to stand in front of that, but have you considered other funding options other than CIB should you need to go do further environmental impact studies?
Appreciate the question, Richard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, I was just trying to be totally upfront with this board and say that is an option. Again, we have, our private partners have secured the equity stack to build the railroad. How much the private sector is willing to put into a project largely depends on the assurances they have on the project being completed. I think there's a big difference between doing environmental impact work initially and actually putting the dollars into construction and production, which is why we have a public-private partnership. As I said the last time I was before you a couple months ago, you know, a lot of people didn't think that this could be done. Everyone has thought for years that the only market for the waxy crude in the Inland Basin was in the four refineries here across the street. And this board funded a study that proved otherwise. And right now, today, there are producers in the Inland Basin that are putting waxy crude on trucks, shipping them up Indian Canyon 191 to Price River Terminal and Wildcat Terminal in Harlan County, and shipping those to the Gulf Coast to be refined. 80,000 barrels a day come here to Salt Lake City on average. About 60,000 right now, maybe a little bit more, are being shipped into Carbon County and put on the rail network because of the study that this board funded. So we've proven that there's a market for it. So that's a big step. To answer your question, I think there is some private funding. There are some other resources. We will explore every avenue that we have to get this done. That is kind of, at this point, you know, that and springboard are kind of last resort. There are a lot of other things that we're working on in the meantime so that we don't have to come back to this board. We want to be bringing money into this board, not taking it out, as you all know. And so, again, that's still our objective, and hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. And just as a board member, I appreciate that consideration, and I appreciate you making that a point with Drexel Hamilton. But, you know, they need to explore all options, and even if it's a higher funding, obviously it's higher risk when you're funding the environmental study rather than after you have the approvals. But even if they have to go to a higher risk and pay a little bit more in terms of interest rate, you know, the amount of that funding could be absorbed in the project overall, I think, fairly easily. But, you know, just appreciate your consideration in looking for other sources of funding for that.
Thank you, Jack. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I appreciate Kurt's comments. We are just going into another legislative cycle in the state of Utah. It seems to me like the governor and other stakeholders in the state have bought into the project pretty strongly. I wondered if maybe you could approach a legislator and open a bill file for the possibility of getting state funding for an environmental process, because we're in that season of the year with the legislature, and you may know more in a couple of months, but if you don't do the groundwork beforehand, it's difficult to do it at the last minute with the legislature. So you might consider that.
I very much appreciate that. Excellent point. We'll certainly pursue that. I think it would be very helpful for us as influential elected officials, especially in rural Utah, if you make sure that you are advocates for this project. It's important that our local officials as well as our federal officials know that this project is important to the state, that the CIB has invested heavily into this project because it's critical for rural Utah. If projects like this are not successful, that's $30 million that went out from somebody else who greatly needed it. So we need to be successful, and the Washington delegation needs to hear that from people like you. Our state legislators need to hear how important these projects are, and that the CIB has invested beyond what's really reasonable, given the demands on this funding and the limited funding that you have. So please don't be shy in advocating for this. We need all the evangelists that we can get.
Thank you. Chairman Zanotti, just a question. Can you thank you for all these updates? And you have all the support. It is a great project. I know that will last. Should we? Can you just tell us a little bit about that one product that you knew is going to last from the Utah leadership almost within the United States? But I just wanted to ask you, any of those two judges that are due for your re-election?
They're lifers. you bring that up, it's very frustrating. I don't know if any of you saw this, but part of the politicizing that was going on in Colorado is after the decision came down in the circuit court, they held a press conference on the Colorado River, and they were there with their rubber rafts hooked up to their Sprinter vans and Toyotas and such to burn on fossil fuel, and their rubber dinghies that are made out of petroleum, telling us what a great victory this was for the fish in the Colorado River, totally ignoring the fact that the likelihood of any of our waxy crude actually ending up in the Colorado River was, one in a billion, and if it did, it would be the easiest cleanup in the world long before it could hurt any fish, because it's a solid. It's wax. The other fact that you may be interested in is in talking with the Union Pacific Railroad, they are more inclined to take the waxy crude through Salt Lake, Ogden, and across Wyoming, and then dropping down or going elsewhere rather than heading to Colorado, because the grades in Colorado are steep and twisty, whereas going through Wyoming, those are lesser grades, there's not as many turns, the trains can go full speed, and time is money. So they're more inclined to actually ship it, even though it's longer, it's faster. And so again, there's a lot of misrepresentation coming out of Colorado, and I believe it was strictly for political persons, for political reasons, because people like to hear that we're saving the planet and saving the wildlife, and everything carbon-based is bad. And that really does misrepresent this project. So anyway, don't get me started, Mr.
Johnny. Well, so you can tell what kind of expectations they have.
The oxygen is thin.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions or comments for the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition?
I'd like to comment.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Executive Director Heaton with the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. It is noted that this board has funded heavily in this. It is also noted that we support you because if you succeed, there will be additional funding back into this board because of the fact that they will reimburse the CIB for the planning that they did. So we should encourage this mightily. And then given that the resources will be developed, that's also an additional boon to rural Utah, because this is one of their own sources, and that's just my comment.
Thank you
Mr. Chairman. Board,
appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I can make just one closing comment. I appreciate the work of Executive Director Eden, as a co-chair of the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition Board. I have the privilege of working with him, and I've been involved with the project since its inception in 2019. It's been a long 5 years. And we've got a lot of
leg left in us. And so we are going to get a win. But it's to his credit. He's done a tremendous amount of work for the coalition to continue to move this project forward. And as well as all the board members, appreciate all the support that we've been given. And we will get a win. Thank you.
Thank you as a member of the 7-Time Infrastructure Coalition well before 2019, but going through it in the time span, you've been a wonderful addition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Okay, up next we have a reminder for our next board meeting, which is November 2nd in Washington County. Any other discussion about the November 2nd meeting, and then we'll talk about kind of future meeting points for regular meetings after that.
I believe I have your hotel responses. If you haven't, please let me know how many you want. Also, please turn back in your red folders before you leave, because I don't want to buy more.
let's just do a just kind of a informal vote on kind of our normal meeting place. We've been at State Street. Why don't we start there? Just a raise of hands from the board that prefer the State Street location. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How do we feel about the Capitol, meeting of the Capitol? Any hands in favor of the Capitol?
I'm good either way. I don't care.
Well, it looks like State Street is the preference, which is fine with me. So we'll be in St. George next month, but December we'll plan to be back at State Street. Does that sound good to everyone?
Thank you.
In December we'll be back at State Street.
In November we'll be where?
St. George.
Yeah. Okay. Any other board member discussion? Anything else?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
You saw the list of applications. So we have 3 meetings scheduled. I'm trying to put the ones that are closer in St. George to that funding meeting. This is a suggested meeting, because we always put the water at the end. That being said, we have some very, very large ones. At the November meeting, it probably would be prudent to visit this list and see who you really want to review for funding, because I've given a somewhat projection. I am guesstimating that we'll have about $37 million. That's not going to do it. So statutorily, the board is to give priority to those areas impacted. The impacts have been defined as mineral lease development, but the impact is also defined by this board in policy that a lot of federal land prohibits you. You can't tax what you don't own. So look at that list. It's been provided to you, and we'll talk about it, Chairman Willing, how to proceed, who to save their time, because you're not going to fund them all.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Commissioner.
Can I just make a suggestion to think about maybe for our next meeting? I hate to see the board tell somebody no, that your project is not good enough for us to consider at a meeting. So we have a list. Candace has provided us a list. Maybe what we need to do in the future is take that list and spread it over trimesters, so that there will be some funding available to fund those projects. I looked at the list and I can't see a project that's not worthy of being funded. So if we only have $37 million to fund in trimester two, maybe we take part of this list and say put it in trimester three, where we will have another $37 or $40 million to fund. And I know that pushes other communities back a ways, but I don't want to tell somebody that their sewer or water project is not worthy of being funded. So I'm looking for a creative way. And again, Curtis, not Kurt, I'm going to appeal to you on the cash that hasn't been claimed in the treasurer's office, you know, how many million dollars, but you kick someone out on the CIB and solve our problem, you know. Anyway, that's my suggestion.
Well, thank you. What was your comment? So I understand you, Ms. Powers.
Oh, I was suggesting to the chair, who has the good fortune of sitting right here on my left, for him, he gets my comments, moratorium on the applications for the February 1st deadline, and just deal with these spread out, and by June you will know there would likely be funding. So that was one suggestion, and it needs to be a board decision. I can put it on the website so nobody's confused. There won't be applications February, but we will parse these out in two or three meetings with final funding in June.
Yeah, I like that suggestion. It doesn't give anybody enough. It doesn't cause us to kick anybody's project out of the funding cycle.
Okay. Ms. Hanson.
Thank you. I really am appreciative of both of the suggestions, because I too was looking at the list and like, oh, there's a lot of really good projects here. And I worry a little bit if we choose which ones to hear first, because we're, you know, it's sort of a, like whoever's first in line, you know, when there's funding, it may disadvantage others. So that makes me a little bit anxious, but I'm open to other suggestions. I would really not want to say, okay, let's move this one to the top and this one to bring it here and let's see.
Well, we won't fund them until June.
Once we've made a decision to move forward, it's really hard at the funding meeting to go back and reconsider. We've seen that today. Nobody necessarily wanted to go back and reconsider any of the projects that we said we would fund, even though, you know, we'd always told ourselves we could still do that. So I'm going to make one suggestion, and this might not be popular, but I see on there a Richfield pool facility at the first funding meeting in November. I would suggest that I would like to move that one to the third funding meeting to see if there's that amount of money left, because I just know that this group, you know, there's always reasons why a new pool facility is going to be a great thing for a community. And I know this group won't want to say no, like you all said. And so, but at the same time, I see some things on the January 4th meeting that I would consider to be more essential, and I don't want to have to tell them no because we just spent their money. And so could I make a suggestion that we bump that one to the January 4th meeting and maybe move up some of these more essential water projects up higher? So.
Quick comment, Ms. Power, and then Commissioner Dwight.
I just want to remind the board that they have, the policy of the board is to do it in a trimester basis. The reason that they don't, you've been offered that you wouldn't fund anything at a funding meeting is if there isn't sufficient funding to fund the ones you review. Once you review them, they are. If you spread this out, you're not funding it until June. You review it, and then you give priority, because it's in statute, to give priority to those areas impacted by mineral lease development. That is your statutory obligation. You have to hear them. Staff has to put it on an agenda. And we will move it down to later, but what is later? We won't know that until the November meeting when it's an action item. So go ahead.
With everything that's been said, I concur all good ideas. One of the things that I think you spoke to earlier was like some trimesters have been the water meeting, in essence. At least in the past, it was even more prevalent, or the rose meeting, or this and that. Knowing that there's exigent circumstances for different projects that might divert into those sessions, I do think that categorizing them to some degree. And I think you bring up a very good point from the treasurer's office. The some projects, because of that prioritization process that Candace is speaking of, may have to be, although Sevier County in that case, which is a high producing, has been a high producing county. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if we can group them a little bit and then help us stating apples to apples, oranges to oranges, as we can, as we do the projects and spread them out, that would naturally spread them out in some form. How complicated is that?
I think that there's a misconception. It's not first come, first serve when you prioritize them.
I'm not promoting that. But.
The waters have been the last because we give time to DEQ to review them.
Correct.
So they're always on the water and sewer meeting, which is the last before the funding.
Right.
Roads just happen to end up in a clump. So we really don't categorize them. If you want to, we can. That's the only purpose. The most ready ones are put on the first meeting because you don't have to chase the public hearing minutes. You don't have to chase the AOG review, all the requirements for the application, if they're ready.
And I realize we're stepping into what's administratively occurs behind the curtain kind of already in terms of what we see. And messing with that can be compounding.
Spread it out though. The moratoriums.
Sir, would you be opposed to me asking the legislator to run a bill on mycash.com and kick it into the CRB funds?
Because any money that comes out of there that doesn't go back to the rightful owners gets sent to the Uniform School Fund and helps fund public education. So you would be taking that money from public education.
Well, we can
take that from the school kids. Oh, go ahead.
Hey, that's what we were doing when we did found those CID roads. I mean, those RS-2477 roads are those right-of-ways, Laura.
Miss Hanson.
So, anyway, we'll take it all.
Okay.
We just want it a little bit.
All right.
A couple hundred million.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only concern with potentially grouping them by like water and roads and putting water perhaps in the third meeting is what if those are the most critical projects and we've spent the money at the previous meeting. It makes me anxious. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, first in the door, first in line, and just tracking when they come in.
Don't send them.
Yes, but I hear that, but in practice, the intention is to. The fields are struck, and it's challenging to change it. It's just, in practice, it feels like they are offended.
Yes.
My concern about the applicants also, we have to give them a little bit of opportunity. They have done their homework, they have done their application time. Also, they have to push driveways, easements, designs, plans. If we don't have those considerations for applicants, you know how the market changes so devastating. They can do it for this one, maybe they have done their homework for this particular time. Instead, and then like normal, we have 20%, 30% inflation, which is going to happen. This market is going to do that every so often in the cycle. So we have to be concerned with those applicants. If they're in the homework, that's just the process of the death on it. We're going to have to go forward.
And that's what I appreciate from us, but I'm not necessarily promoting it, but I do want to hear the conversation.
One more suggestion. To avoid the challenges of, okay, we heard it at the first meeting, even though the official funding meeting is going to happen later, we do negotiate the terms. You could say, we think this is a great project, put it on the prioritization list. It makes for a really, like, we'll fall in meeting probably on a funding meeting, but maybe the terms of how much grant, how much loan, grant or loan, gets worked out at that funding meeting. And we've discussed that before, and we opted not to do that, but we're in a new environment, I think.
Okay.
discussion.
I did. Because you're going to spend a lot of time reviewing these, and they're going to spend a lot of time traveling to review them to not be funded.
Is there a way, Candace, to... I see in the first trimester there's about 18 million per month. Is that right?
Well, yeah. And
so can we put some more in there to give up? Close to 30?
Yes, but you're not funding it yet. You don't have money to fund it.
So I know. Yeah. Okay, but I'm just thinking 30 to 40 million in each trimester might make some sense. I don't know.
Oh, you're going back to trimester and fund it in June? The only reason these are on here is because they're in proximity to St. George.
Okay.
Just so you know.
When is that explained? Is it proper to make a motion to put a moratorium on the February applications?
And we do have an opportunity for action right now on the, you know, on the agenda. So if you'd like to make a motion, the board can vote on it. Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to put a moratorium on any more applications for what?
The next application deadline, what you're saying, I think, let me paraphrase it, is would be June. So there would be no more applications received for until June. June is the next application deadline. Then you will review these, and they might not be funded until June, and you will know what your revenue is. Is that your motion?
That would give us a chance. Yeah, that would give us a chance to look at the ones we've got and see if we will have enough money to fund those.
Is there a second to the motion? Yes, go ahead.
What if there's an emergency? What if someone has an
emergency? I think we can vote on that November.
Can I make a comment on that? I have a concern with that because some of these projects are emergencies. Some of them are essential. And just because we don't want to do the work of prioritization, like we're going to tell them they can't submit applications when some of this stuff can't wait. Like I understand, like we're at a point where we may need to make some real hard decisions on prioritization. But to tell all those future people that, sorry, there's just nothing available when they haven't studied the project, yet we're letting things like a ritual pool facility on the list, and we're going to say, well, I guess we have enough for that one now, and we're going to fund it. That just doesn't feel right to me. I think we need to do the hard work of doing the prioritization, and we need to consider all of these projects across rural Utah and not tell them that they can't submit an application because we just don't want to have to do the prioritization work.
I'm not suggesting that we tell somebody they can't submit an application. We're just telling them there's a timeline when you can submit an application, and we are not going to accept applications until June.
But what if they have an emergency?
Then we deal with it. Bring the emergency in. We've always done that with emergencies.
So you're saying if it's not an emergency, then we just don't want to consider any applications?
Well, do you want everybody to come in and say there's just an emergency?
Hey, go ahead. Commissioner Bartholomew, go ahead.
So, as I go through this list here, help me out, guys. We have always, since I've been on here, prioritized water and sewer and fire and these panels and these types of essential projects. As I look on here, I'm not saying that these aren't good projects because they are to the people that supply for them. But you've got a pool project that's $14 million. You've got a hospital project that's, what, 20-some thousand? 36,000?
34 million.
Excuse me. And a community health for another 26 million.
I don't know about you, but every time I go into the hospital and I come out and get that bill, I'm thinking, wow, why are they applying for this, these funds? I mean,
because it's an impact budget. We don't just fund sewer and water and roads. And we don't fund according to how the county or the city is impacted. And we also, some of us don't have commercial hospitals. So like the health clinic is not a commercial, a completely commercial. You got a community here, you got a county here that has been contributing to the CRB fund from the very beginning and was actually at the very top of the list before you and I got on the board as far as contributing funds. They have a 70-year-old hospital that's out of date. So we just say, we're not going to fund this hospital because you're not sewer and water. We're going to fund some of these other things. Close your hospital. It's too old. It's not up to date technologically. It's not up to date with all of the equipment and stuff that's concerned. So, you know, I think it's part of the impact in the county, and we need to consider it. We funded a railroad project for nearly $30 million. You know, I mean, Sangamon County has been in the top 10 of producers in the CIB from the very beginning.
Thanks for that explanation. You know, I'm not downgrading the application. I'm still, those are a lot of funds there.
I'm just saying we can fund these projects. It might take a little longer time. It might take two trimesters or even three trimesters. That funding is coming in on a regular basis from oil and gas to this board. And it will continue to come in. It's not coming in at the rate that it used to, and that's Dean's fault because it's you and the county now. But we can project we're going to get money in the next year that would fund all of these projects and maybe more. So I'm just saying let's look at our process. Let's say, you know, we've got these on the list. They applied. Let's consider them. And how we consider them, I'm just saying let's consider them over a longer extended time. Because I don't want to tell anybody your project's not good enough.
Can I make a comment there? Okay, so if we put people on a backlog, it's not like there's going to be any less projects that are continuing to accrue over that time. So the backlog's only going to grow and grow. And so what you're really doing is you're using a queue system. How soon do you get in the line to determine who gets funded, right? Because we don't want to tell anybody no, and we don't want to tell anybody they don't have a good project. I just don't know that that's the best and most feasible way to approach constricted resources at this point. Like, I understand there's merits behind every project. The hospital project, of course there's merit behind it. Of course the pool facility. There's need in these communities to have facilities for their residents to go to and enjoy. Like, there's merit behind all of these projects, but we're at a point where we have to do some prioritization. Just putting people in a queue isn't going to keep the new projects from coming in, the essential new projects. And if they have, and if that queue continues to grow to 2 to 3 to 4 years, that's not a good way to deal with these communities that need to send new projects.
So is your suggestion then, Kurt, to start cutting them off at the knees?
Saying, that's saying my suggestion.
These projects, we're gonna tell you up front, we're not gonna fund your full project.
And that's what I'm saying.
Okay. You need to have a guard at your office.
I know we do. We have a highway patrol right outside. Just any of you that were thinking about, you know, meeting up back.
Yes, let me throw my comments in. As the number one producing county, period. We outproduce all the rest of the counties, period. So we are the number one producer. What I'm not trying to say, we're generous. We realize that, and we realize that there's the needs, and the money goes out to all these other counties. Federal statute is that it's supposed to go back to the area impacted by extraction.
With priority given to.
Priority given to. I don't think we've been doing that, but that's okay. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying we've kind of opened the trough for everybody to come in and apply, and now we're seeing the problem with it, that everybody's got a need, everybody's critical, but how critical? You know, I mean, we've got to be, as a board, maybe a little more tougher on some of these projects and say we'd love to fund you, but, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a road project. There's always going to be a water and sewer project, but sometimes they, you know, it's back to, we've been very generous. And I'm not critical, I'm just trying to say, it's the way it is.
Dean, me and Kobe want to speak to that. You have not always been the number one producer.
Well, in
there have been other counties that have been the number one producer over the history of this board. And we appreciate that you're the number one producer, and we want you to keep to be the number one producer, but I'm just reminding you that there have been other counties that have been a bigger producer than Uinta County. Fortunately, they found it all in Uinta County, and they're still after it, but
I'm not trying to say we're producing. That was not my point. Okay. My point was that the money's been there, but it's now getting to be where we just were. Everybody expects just to come to us instead of looking for other resources or avenues on it. And we can only do so much. What happens if there was some big disaster in Uinta County and the oil and gas was shut down for a year? Would we survive? Yes. It'd be tough, but, you know, as a state. But I think, I'm trying to say, we need to look at, get maybe, everybody's coming, feeling like they can just come and give. And maybe we need to be a little more tougher than we have been.
So should we study the top 10 producing counties to get money?
Now, I didn't say
that. That's on what Garfield says.
I didn't say that because we realize that we think that there's needs everywhere. We're not trying to be critical.
Ms. Hansen, please.
Thank you. I was just sitting here thinking that I think, Mayor, you've got a point that we've got an awful lot of people coming to CIB first, and there are, I mean, I've shared a whole list of other grant opportunities that exist. The challenge is none of them have enough money to meet the demand. GOEO just had a Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity got some one-time funding with us last year for water infrastructure, and they received over $2 billion in requests for $50 million in funding. So I think, you know, the big challenge is that the need is just much greater than the resources that are out there. Also, to the point of maybe we need to be a little bit tougher, our interest rates are pretty high right now, and people maybe come to CIB because we're the best game in town, and we've had a lot of conversations about we need to be tougher about, you know, having higher interest rates, and then when it comes down to every individual project, you know, we don't really follow through on that.
Although I think we've gotten better.
Yeah. So the point is, I agree.
Right? It's different. Yeah. Okay. To kind of back up what Lars is saying, and then we have, you know, Jason's there, he's for science and public finance. He's probably willing to tell you there's a whole lot of capital out there. You just have to pay market interest rates on it, right? And so these projects can be funded through the market. There's other avenues of funding for these other than the CIB. It's just going to be a lot more expensive. So, like what Lars is saying, is one way to, you know, to help make that more fair to everybody, knowing that some people are going to have to go pay 5.5% to have the project done, while some people who get in line first get 2.5%. To make it more fair, let's maybe split that baby a little bit, raise the rates for everybody so that so that there's not that big of a discrepancy between the people who actually got in line first and got some money versus those who are left out in the cold and then have to go to market to pay it, to get that money. So.
Yes, Commissioner Lyle.
So with that in mind, I still think that somehow, as we use the tool, it does have a value in that regard, in the sense that we still have to look at the order. We could say generally we're going to be up, and I know that I'm probably the most inconsistent and was a big proponent of the mental health facility in Alamont that's called Rodeo Grounds. But to my point, I think there's also an affordability to the community. Some communities can't do it, but the tool helps us define that, as well as the information that staff puts together. And I think that has to be in the mix. I wouldn't want to keep it as simple as you stated it, but I do think we have to keep that, what the community can afford. And I think the staff does a very good job of discerning that for us, or with the applicant. So I see your point, but we want to have that in some way.
Commissioner Miles.
I'd like to maybe follow my co-counsel with Mayor Baker with that. As a producing county, we've seen the ups and downs of the industry. 2020, Duchesne County had a $4 million shortfall because of the drop in oil and gas. When oil was being traded at negative $30 a barrel, that hit our community huge. The year before I took office, 2018, between UNM and Duchesne County, we lost $3 billion in revenue. I don't think you've seen in Salt Lake County your house value drop in half. I don't know that you've seen that in some of the other counties of the state. Have you lost that much value? And I know that you've been a former producer, Bruce, but I question whether some of the applicants have seen the true heartburn that's caused by mineral production.
I think Carbon County.
Carbon County can relate. I will grant that. We have huge impacts from the extraction industry. And I know that there were former producers in the state, but I've heard that far too long for me not to say something that I don't know that you can relate. I'm not hostile, I'm just a little bit passionate about the impacts are real. And one of the things that I have heartburn with is giving money for vehicles. I think that's a short-term aspect. You can go to the Zions Bank or somewhere else and get it financed. And if you watch after the dimes, the dollars take care of themselves. So, thank you.
Commissioner, I can relate to that because between Garfield and Kane County, we have the largest coal reserve in North America. Cleanest, highest BTU, lowest sulfur coal there is in the world, and yet they refuse to use that coal. And we basically can't even touch it because of the federal government. So we can relate to some of that. We could be a great producer if the federal government would just get out of our way. And then we could help. We'd love to help those communities. We'd love to help every community in Utah. Okay.
Now?
Yeah.
Ms. Hansen, please.
I'm sorry, I just want to start. I just want to make one more comment. You know, I think the challenge with all of this is that these are real needs. We have emotional connections to these communities. There's hard decisions with all of this. And if I could just offer, we do have this amazing tool, which I think probably needs a little bit of updating, but I think we've got this great tool that accounts for the financial capability of a community. It accounts for whether it's a producing community or not. It accounts for population and all of those various different things. And I feel like if we rely more heavily on the very objective model, that can eliminate some of the emotional challenges that we're all struggling with. Because, yeah, that's a great project. And yeah, you're right, you are in a tough situation. But if the tool incorporates all of that and we can rely on that
and lean more towards the medium of the tool, I think that might help us with these decisions.
Ms. Oliver, would you care to comment on this?
So in regards to the tool, that brings up a very good point. We are actually, with Paul, he has developed a more clean tool for you all to utilize. What we're going to do is bring it to you and address all these assumptions that are being made within the tool. It'll be written out. It's already, we've got a draft form. Paul's been working extremely hard on this. And we're going to ask you all to look at all of these assumptions that make the output, because that is, it's ebbed and flowed. Changes have been made sort of willy-nilly in the past. So what we want to do, and what I'm striving for this board to do, is to ensure that the tool that we are utilizing is stuck to more often than not. Because as the audit, the CID audit has passed, the results of that audit were that we were constantly not aligning decisions with priorities, and so this new tool will be cleaner, easier to understand. We'll revisit, provided the new climate with inflation and interest rates, the priorities that you will be setting and the funding allocations that the tool will create. So it's still under construction, but we will be bringing that to you and having that discussion.
And at what point will we approve using it or not?
Well, it really depends on how the discussion goes.
Okay, I'm passionate about the fact that the board that was very involved in the original one and recognized some of the, well, I'm nervous, the audit exists, its accuracy is questionable at times, but it did provide some opportunities for us to improve our decision-making process, and the tool is a way to do it as a tool. I think that for all the things that are being brought up, I think there's a very important part of why we're a board, the tool, and why we have exceptions when we choose to go away from the tool, that those things remain. Because not every project, I think it gives us a great base to make our decisions, to preclude being arbitrary or capricious, or being judged as arbitrary or capricious in our efforts. But I recognize that it's a tool. And I hope that as this has been done or being developed without letting us know that it's being developed or upgraded until now, is a little frustrating.
To speak in defense of that, we are doing it as a product that we will be producing for you all to look at.
Okay.
So this is, please don't misunderstand that we are creating a tool that we're just going to have you apply. This is, we're creating an outline of how the existing tool works, provided all of the different changes over the past 2 years, and then we're presenting a new model for you to contemplate and discuss. So that's why I can't give you a when this will be deployed answer. It's because it will be board driven, and modifications to our draft model, the new cleaner model, will be made after feedback from the board together.
Okay.
So it's definitely not us making the decision. We're just suggesting some cleanup, and we want you to revisit all of the assumptions and providing the changes in the world.
Right. And that will be something we'll be moving toward for this spring.
Whenever you all determine.
Well, I mean, in terms of our, the last time we did it, we tried to iron it out more during, so it was COVID.
Policy meeting.
It was a June policy meeting. Yeah. And it was done virtually.
Well, and I mean, I'll add that some of this is subsequent to our discussion at the previous policy meeting in Monticello about opportunities to improve the tool. And we talked through that, received a presentation from Paul. So it's an ongoing project.
Thank you. I guess it maybe is my bad listening, or I hope we will continue to communicate about it. And I appreciate you bringing it up.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get the board together once we have kind of this updated model, and then we'll play with it and see what we think. Commissioner?
Well, I might be wrong, but I really feel like the board has moved, shifted to using the tool a lot more than when we don't use it. I mean, I think every board member looks at the sheet and looks at the minimum, maximum, whatever it is, and tries to stay within the tool, at least in the past year.
I think there's a lot of exceptions.
There's a
lot of exceptions. Right?
I bet there's more using the tool than there is exceptions.
I think like 30-50, I would guess less.
Ms. Powers, comment?
I just want to clarify so that I know what direction we're going. First of all, CIB and the staff of HCD is very cognizant of the statutory parameters for which this board operates. We're also very mindful of the rules and the board policy. In regard to producing counties, they do get revenue directly to them, and in statute, this board has to consider all the other applications that come from all over the state that require funding and can't go anywhere else. We're grateful for the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget for putting out additional funding. As staff, I would like to give direction to applicants saying, you have applied and we will consider these at just over a longer period of time, so that you wouldn't have to cut anything out. CIB also requires a CIB application list that was compiled and submitted to us for applications that would be submitted in this coming year. That being said, who could have perceived that the applications that would come in would be so large and that the revenue would be so reduced? It would be helpful, and we could let them know. The CID application list should stand. That's our initial planning, because they get on that list through the help of the AOGs, so that there is planning. I don't think that there are very many emergencies, and props to Richfield for coming in for a pool. They came in last trimester and they saw the handwriting on the wall and pulled it, and we said, why don't you reapply? So they're not just, I mean, they're taking their turn, and you can stop them, but they're coming in through the proper channels. This board is supposed to do the most good for the most citizens of the state of Utah. It does not say for the basin, and it doesn't say for San Juan, and it doesn't say. It says for the whole state. So when you're on this board, you are aware of that. Where else is Wayne County going to go? Where else is Daggett going to go? You know, there's a lot of towns that have gotten a lot of good from this board, and this is an amazing board, and I love it, and I'm passionate about it, as you can tell. But please note that when you cull them out, Treasurer Slaw, to just say you can't have this, you can't. You're deciding what an entity's priority is. And so we allow them to come and make their case, and then you can say, that's a great priority, and we'll put you on the pending list or whatnot. We've got tools to do that. It would just be helpful to the board to not have them all come in to say no to just put a moratorium. And I just got a text from Drinking Water. They're listening in on this. They said they've put a moratorium on their applications until June, because there's been such a need and such an response to need the funding. I promised the chair it would only take 1 minute, but how much did they time that? Anyway, up there is the I've asked them to put up the rainbow sheet. Why are you putting that one up? That's just the... It's in the Granicus. Anyway, you have it on in your Granicus. You can see
the numbers have changed more so this month than others, I noticed.
Well, we've got all the numbers now for 2023.
Okay.
So what you were dealing with was 2022. Now we have 2023's numbers, final numbers, so we've updated that rainbow sheet. And it's in the briefing. Good. And it's the rainbow sheet. So we call it the rainbow sheet because it shows who brings in what, and it's Uinta, Sevier, and Duchesne.
Does it reflect the
the applicants that were awarded today?
No, because you're in fiscal year 24. But you can see that most counties get a plethora beyond what they bring in, and Uinta is probably the only one that doesn't quite get there for having as much funded as they bring in. But please remember, those top producers also get it directly to them. CID gets 32.5% of what comes back to the state. Mineral lease. It's different. This is on federal land. CID is only federal land. So you might see the production soaring.
We're talking about the four or five at the very top. They all get additional mineral lease money.
Directly to them. Yeah. The 40% taken off the top is given to the top producers.
If you could make the color come down a little ways, would more people get the mineral lease?
Why not? I'm going to try it.
That's pretty important. Can I help you with that?
It's just the fact, ma'am, we just put the color on it. We could make it black and white and it'd still be the same. But anyway, board needs to consider a lot of things. I'm going to have an agenda item at the November meeting. I work with the chairman to see that we get a position. I have received notification from your legal counsel that you could make a motion to put the moratorium on it today. He would support that ability. Or you can wait to just say, hold the applications. I don't know what to tell the capital improvements list people, but you can't spend what you don't have. So.
In terms of capital improvements list, do we have any applications right now that are not on their counties?
Yes, we do. We have one that thinks it's an emergency coming in for road repair. They are bringing it in as special consideration, and that's the one that shows up in the December meeting. By the way, these aren't meetings set in stone. I just explained we'll have a meeting. The special service district from Uinta County is bringing in a $26 million emergency request for road repair. Anyway. But as you know, when they come in and they're not on the list, you don't have to hear them. They have to be, staff has to put them on an agenda.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up to go deeply into it as much as to reinforce the list.
Yeah, that's what we do for planning, GID application.
Yes.
Do you think their value, could we hold off and have this discussion in November and give everyone some time to think through what's been talked about?
I just have a real concern with just putting a moratorium on things, because the needs there, whether we ignore those or not.
Yeah.
And we're the last funding source for a lot of these communities. They don't have other options. And so for us to just say, well, we don't want to do the hard work of having to tell somebody no when, you know, they're here, they give us a really good story of why, you know, this is so important to their community. I just think that's derelict on our part in terms of doing our job as a board to make sure that these really important projects that are going to be there, whether we tell them they can't submit an application or not, I don't feel good about that prioritization method.
Yeah, so
that's clear.
Hey, I'm not Bruce or Kurt. That's been made clear. Please respond. But I don't want to go down another rabbit hole.
So is drinking water derelict? Is that board derelict? Because they put more important in?
Well, I think if they had projects that they were funding that were not potential drinking water projects, and they're using this so that they can continue to fund non-essential drinking water projects, but I don't know that that's their reality. Like, I think anything that has to do with drinking water, it's pretty hard to say where the priority is there, so I don't know.
So I think Commissioner Miles' suggestion is good. Why, Ms. Powers, let's make a note to add this as a discussion item, potential action item on the next agenda. Perhaps higher up on the agenda, if you guys would like.
Early.
Earlier. Does that work for everyone?
next year. Yeah.
Okay.
Starting May meetings?
Yes.
In St. George?
Yes, sir.
Are we going to start at 8 o'clock since we're in St. George?
No, we're not.
Okay.
So this is how we're going to roll this.
Okay. And thank you, Chairman Zanotti, for being willing to host us.
You're welcome.
And if you can help us line up all the accommodations and everything. Okay, with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.